Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. May is Pacific County Museum Month. 11 museums in Pacific County are participating. Tokeland, Raymond. It's a very exciting time to visit the museums of Pacific County. And today, I'll be talking with Madeline Mattson. She is the executive director of the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco, which might be the largest museum, right up there with the Carriage House maybe, but we're not sure, but it is definitely an incredible resource in Ilwaco. So good morning, Madeline. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, good, because I think a lot of folks don't realize what the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum offers. And so today we're going to find that out. But also, let's learn a little bit about your history, because that is a huge part of the fact that you are now the executive director.
Yeah. So I grew up here on the peninsula, and I actually started volunteering at the museum when I was 5 years old. My dad served on the board of directors and my mom was a volunteer. And so I just started getting brought to every museum event. And so I really kind of grew up here at the museum, and I took over as a curator of the dollhouse exhibit that we kind of used to have. And when I was 12 years old, and so I've really kind of been embedded here for a long time. I went away to college, came back, started a bakery, did some other things, and then ended up serving on the board of directors. And in 2020, the longtime director who had been here for over 10 years decided that she wanted to step to a volunteer position. So we started kind of doing a search for a new director. And she called me one day and said, you know, I think you need to apply for this. And so I hadn't even considered it. And so I said, well, that might be an interesting thought. So I did. And here I am. So I'm about to, in September, I will have been here for 4 years.
You are embedded in that museum then. It's in your blood and bones, your childhood.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of my employees and our staff have known me for basically my entire life, which is pretty funny. So it's definitely an interesting job, and I feel very honored to be one in a long line of people who have kind of ushered the museum through different periods of time.
The museum is in a beautiful building in Ilwaco, and I have been privileged to be there. Let's talk a little bit about what inspired the beginning of the museum. Let's talk a little bit about the history of the museum.
Yeah, so we're actually celebrating 40 years of being open this month. And so the museum nonprofit was founded in 1983, and then the museum officially opened in 1984. The museum kind of came about because there was a group of very dedicated residents who thought that Ilwaco needed a museum. And one of the main people was Maureen Robinson. And she actually called the Smithsonian cold call and said, hi, I want to start a museum. What do I do? And they were nice enough to kind of give her a little tutorial on where to start and how to start a nonprofit. And the group worked through those things and really did it from their pocketbooks to some degree. She sold hot dogs out of a hot dog cart to help fund the museum. And that's kind of our roots. And so we've grown a lot since then. We're in the old telephone utilities building. It was built in the 60s. And then in the 80s, when the company was bought out and moved out of the area, the building was given to the city of Ilwaco. And so when this group decided to start the museum, they went to the city and said, hey, I think that building should be a museum. And the city since then has leased it to us for $1 a year. And so, yes, it is a very large space. That's one of the things that we get almost every day is people walk in and they have no idea that the museum is so large and contains so much information.
And you have not only permanent exhibits, but you have rotating exhibits, so things change. Yes. And let's talk about the mission of the museum. A lot of folks may not be familiar with the rich culture there. I know that basically it says on your website, preserving the past, inspiring the future, interpreting the heritage of the Columbia Pacific region. Let's talk about the mission statement and how you do that.
Yeah, so we're really the collectors of our region's history. And so it's our job to not only preserve those things, but to also interpret it and then also to make sure that there's public access. So we want to make sure that the people who own the history of this region and have lived it and want to learn about it can access it. So that's really what our big goal is. So yes, we do have our permanent exhibits that talk about the life ways is what we say, the life ways of the region, and kind of how this region came to be, starting with the Chinook culture and moving through time. And then we also have a special exhibit gallery where we have rotating exhibits 4 to 5 times a year where we get to focus on kind of other specific stories. We get to pull things from our collection that might not normally see the light of day very often. And so that allows us to kind of dive deeper into specific stories. And then, yeah, the collection really is the heart of what we do. So we do a lot with research requests and people wanting to find out more about their family history or something specific.
Well, I love that you focus on Pacific Northwest stories, not only of the First Peoples, the Chinook Nation, but you talk about fishing and oystering and logging and tourism and life-saving, and then the Owako Rail and Navigation. Talk about that a little bit. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so there was a railroad that ran for a relatively short period of time, the IR&N, that got people and goods from one end of the peninsula to the other, and then kind of passed Chinook to Megler. So it ran from, started in Nakata, went to Owako, and then eventually they expanded it past to Megler. It was a critical transportation piece before there was really the advent of cars and access to car travel. So it took kids to school. It was called the railroad that ran by the tides because it was really dictated by when ships could get into port, because they would offload goods onto the rail cars and then take them elsewhere. So it was really a critical piece of how this area was laid out and what parts of the peninsula kind of became more developed. And we do have a rail car here, the rail car Nakata, that was originally part of the IR&N Railroad and was restored. And it is part of our exhibits.
That's you. Yeah. The Nakata is your largest artifact. And it's really impressive. I mean, it's pretty amazing, actually. One of the things I love also is that on your board of directors, you have students, because you do care about bringing young people in to museums and for the future. So can you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, I spent a lot of my childhood and youth here in the museum, and it really was one of the things that encouraged me to move back here to a rural community after I got my education. And I feel strongly that if we can instill in local youth, especially rural local youth, that the history and the interesting nature of the communities that they live in, that they will have a better appreciation for those places, and then in turn they will be more likely to return or invest in those communities as they grow. And so I really wanted to get some students more involved, not just coming and looking at our exhibits, but I wanted the museum to be able to benefit from students directly and their opinions on what we should be talking about or how we should be growing. And so a couple years ago, we added 2 student board member positions to our board. And it really has been a wonderful feature. I mean, for the students, it's obviously a great, getting board experience before you graduate high school is fantastic. But for us, I think it's been an even greater benefit in that it's allowed us to become more connected with our youth and learn from them and hear exactly, like, because they are the future and they are why we're doing this. And so I think it's really critical to have their voices as part of the conversation.
You know, the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Owako also has a very unique approach to bringing people through the doors. And that is, during the pandemic, you decided that it would be free forever, always. How did that come to be?
Yeah, so we have always charged historically. And I mean, not a lot, but we've charged. And when we were closed during the pandemic and we were starting to plan our reopening, we just felt that our community had undergone a lot through the pandemic, and many people were struggling financially. And we wanted to give people something to do and something to experience without the barrier of cost. And so we decided to be free through the end of 2021, kind of when we reopened. And it was so successful, and people enjoyed it so much that we decided that it really needed to become something that we needed to figure out how to do for the long term. And so it's now been 2 years of being free, and we have found that people are incredibly generous at the front desk with donations. We've also created a special membership level that's $15 a month, that basically all of that revenue goes towards what we would have made if we charged. And then we also get a support from the Porterville WACO as well yearly to help support being free. So through those other revenue streams, we've been able to make up the amount of money that we would have made through charging admission. And it really has encouraged people to come more regularly because we have rotating exhibits. People can, if you come every other month, you're going to see something new. And so not charging means that people can actually come to all the special exhibits and not feel like they have to pay every single time. It's gotten a lot more families through our door. People who are visiting and traveling, I mean, spending $30 on a family of five to come to a small museum ends up being a lot. And so getting them through the door, I feel like, is very important. And so it's been incredibly successful, and it's something that I hope continues in perpetuity.
And you also have events. You you just had your annual membership meeting last month, where you brought in an author of the book Chinook Resilience, and we could talk about that later. But let's talk about, we've got some events coming up, which are very exciting. Like on Saturday, May 11th, the Family Portrait Writing Workshop.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. It's through Humanities Washington, and so it's their Speakers Bureau series. And it's this author is coming to do a workshop, and it's the first time that we've done a bilingual workshop. So the first one at 1 o'clock will be in English, and then the second one will be at 2:30, and that one will be in Spanish. And the idea is that you will learn how to take your family stories and put them into a written narrative. So if you're interested in writing, or if you have specific family stories that you really feel like need to be put down on paper, this is a wonderful thing to come to. It is entirely free. I really encourage people to come for either workshop.
And let's hope that people will visit your website, because that tells more information about it. So why don't you tell people what the website is?
Yeah, so ColumbiaPacificHeritageMuseum.org is our website. We have all of our calendar of events there. We also have a very active Facebook page where we post constantly about what we're up to and our events. So you can also follow us there.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today I'm speaking with Madeline Mattson. She is the executive director of the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Il Huaco. And we've been talking about the history, the rich history with the Chinook Nation and the oystering, the logging, all that has happened there. And May is Pacific County Museum Month. This is your second annual. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so it was an idea that we kind of came up with last year, or a little bit the year before, where we really wanted to start working more with the other museums in the county. We're incredibly culturally rich in Pacific County, and we have 11 different museums spread through South County and North County. But we hadn't done a lot of working together on a project. And so we came up with the idea of Museum Month, where we could market all of the museums in Pacific County and really come together to try to support getting people to visit and getting people, both locals and visitors, to kind of explore the many different museum and cultural offerings in the county. So last year was our first year, and then this year we're back and kind of better than ever. We've got a paper passport that's really beautifully designed that people can pick up at any one of the participating museums, and then they take it with them to the next museum and it will get stamped. And if you go to 3 or more museums, you can get entered into a drawing to win a prize. There's also a digital app, which you can access. There's QR codes and instructions at all of the museums. And you can actually do it digitally through an app called Scavify. It's kind of like a scavenger hunt. And you check in at each museum. And again, you can get entered to win a prize. And so it's just a great way to encourage people to maybe visit places as they haven't been before and get out and see some of the museums.
Well, amazing to think of 11 museums in Pacific County. And maybe we should give a little shout out. I have a little list of them, unless you have a list there. You want to tell us about them?
You go for it. I'm sure.
Okay. So, all right. Is it Apollo?
Apollo, Archives?
Yes. Apollo. That's what I thought. Finnish, right? Apollo.
Yes.
Apollo Archives. Obviously, your museum, the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Owako, Napton Cove, the Cranberry Museum and Gift Shop, Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center, Northwest Carriage Museum, Pacific County Historical Society, Shoalwater Bay Interpretive Center, Willapa Bay Interpretive Center, Willapa Seaport Museum, and the World Kite Museum. That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I think that's something that people don't quite understand, especially maybe on the other side of the river, on your side of the river. I mean, Pacific County really has a lot going on, and especially from the museum aspect. I mean, you can learn about literally anything from Cranberry's kites to the Shoalwater Bay Tribal Museum to both specific history of South Bend and North County and our history in South County. So, I mean, it truly is. You can do just about anything over here.
And you are always open to receiving artifacts. You particularly love photographs. And so if people have something they think could be of interest to Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum, you would love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's something that the average person maybe doesn't understand, but our collection has been built fully from donations over the last 40 years. And so everything that we own in our collection was given to us by someone who thought that it was important to keep. And so, yes, we get donations every single week from people coming in the door looking to see if we're interested in something. And it just needs to meet our mission of kind of the history of our region. And we can talk you through that if you're not totally sure if it does. But yeah, we really strongly encourage people as they're going through things and feeling like, oh, I don't need this anymore. Maybe I'll just throw it away. If you think that it has any, even just community significance, it doesn't have to be kind of historical significance, but we love photographs of fishing derbies and family picnics at the beach and things like that. They may seem innocuous at times to us, but 50 years from now, people will really enjoy seeing those.
And you said that that even people don't realize, but things from the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s are actually of interest.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're constantly building our collection, and it's funny that we have kind of more items in our collection from the 40s, 50s, 60s, because people are still, they're still hanging on to those items from the 70s and 80s, but it's also that people don't see that as historically significant and that they should be in a museum. It doesn't seem old yet. We collected multiple images and masks during the pandemic and signage and things like that it seemed just kind of everyday material at the time. But in 50 years, people will be wondering, how did they get through that pandemic? And we'll have some of those things in our collection.
And you're supported, obviously, membership is a very important thing for you all. And as a nonprofit, you have to think about, you know, your sources of funding, and you want to continue to remain free, you know, open to the public. So what, in your opinion, is your biggest challenge maybe for the future, or and your biggest maybe joy right now?
Yeah, I think, I mean, membership is critical for us. It is, it makes up a quarter of our operating budget. So if anyone has interest in supporting us, becoming a member is really a great way to do it. One of the biggest challenges for us is capacity. I mean, we do so much with an all part-time staff, and we have five paid staff members. It equals about 2.5 full-time people. And the amount we do on that is kind of insane at times. And so I think for us, it's trying to figure out how to grow our capacity so that we can continue to do more. There are so many things that we would like to do that we just don't have the bandwidth to accomplish. So, I mean, I think it's a good place to be. We want to have jobs to do, but it also can be a little daunting at times, seeing all the possibilities and knowing that we just simply don't have the staff capacity to do those things. I think my joy right now is the museum really is at an incredibly strong point in its life. I think we've done a lot in the last number of years to make sure that we're going to be here for a long time, both kind of structurally and financially. But I think that the good that we're doing for the community is ever increasing. And I think our relevancy is only growing. And I really do think that we are one of the best rural museums in the entire country. And I totally stand behind that statement. And I think that people are blown away when they come in and they really expect kind of a podunk rural little couple of cases museum, and they're blown away by what we do.
It's a very impressive museum. And it is right now, you are open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 to 4.
Correct.
And it's free again. And what about the role of volunteers?
Yeah, I mean, we rely incredibly heavily on volunteers, partially for our front desk. It's all volunteer staffed. And then a lot of our events are volunteer staffed. And so if people are interested in volunteering, they're welcome to get a hold of me and we can talk through kind of things that they're interested in. But yeah, volunteering is absolutely critical for us.
So how has the world changed on the Long Beach Peninsula and in Pacific County since you were a young person, which you are still a young person? but what have you seen change around you? Because I think right now I have a sense that things are shifting so rapidly that it's hard to sometimes take in, which is why I think a museum becomes even more important as some sort of steadying kind of grounding influence in our lives.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that this area especially has changed a lot. I mean, even in the last just 5 years, and we have a very large influx of new residents. And I mean, when I was a kid, I think this area was a lot more rural than it is today. I mean, we didn't have access to a lot of the things that we have access to now, for better or worse. I think there's some positive and minuses to all of that. But yeah, I think that the museum really grounds us, and it allows both people who have lived here for generations to feel like there is something kind of maintaining the identity of the area. But then for new residents, I think that when they walk through and see the past and the history of where they live, getting that appreciation, so that they can treat this place the way that it deserves to be treated. I think rural communities are incredibly special and very unique. And I think museums are really critical to telling that story, especially to people who maybe don't understand it, or who have never really been a part of a rural community. I think that we tell a very important story.
And provide context, you know,
absolutely,
really so important. We just have a few minutes left. Any last things, Madeline, that you'd like the listening audience to know about either the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Owako or the Pacific County Museum Month this in May before we have to close the program?
Yeah, I would just encourage people, if they have not been through, recently or even in the last 3+ years, please come visit us. Come see what we're up to. You can go on our website and subscribe to our newsletter as well. We send out emails every so often kind of with our current events, and so you can participate that way. We are incredibly busy over here, so I think just coming over, saying hi, seeing what we're up to, getting engaged, we would love to have you visit.
Excellent. And again, if there's some new listener who might want to volunteer, that would be a great opportunity for them to do that. And again, Saturday, May 11th is the Family Portrait Writing Workshop, bilingual. So give us the times on that again, please.
Yeah. So 1 o'clock is the English language version, and then 2:30 is the Spanish version.
And if you are a member, then you can go to your annual meetings where you just had this author, and again, I think just learning more about where we live and about the culture there is so vital. And your enthusiasm is really inspirational, Madeline.
How are you
volunteering at 5 and now you're the executive director? That's pretty wonderful. Okay, any last thing before we say adieu at this moment?
No, I was just going to add, with membership, there's a tier of benefits. So you do get little perks for being a member. And during Museum Month, we are offering a special 10% off of memberships for new members. So if you haven't become a member yet and you would like to, you'll get a little discount for the month or for the year. And it's a great way to support us.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Madeline. I encourage everyone to go to Pacific County. 11 museums. May is Museum Month in Pacific County. Thank you so much, Madeline. And my gratitude to Viri. Thank you for your engineering expertise today. And also so many thanks to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for the original theme music for this program. Talk of Our Town, Toots, airs the first Thursday of each month from 9 o'clock to 9:30. And hopefully today, right now, we can just take a second here and find this moment to take a very deep breath, which is so good for body, mind, and spirit in a world which is moving so quickly. Let's just take a deep breath together right now. Now, with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be things that aren't, but let's be grateful for the things that are, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug for doing the best you can, for being uniquely you, for being here now, the only moment that exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.